Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to worship. Thanks for being here today. The weather's so bad outside. Don't forget coffee hour immediately following in the town square. And we thank our women's ministry for hosting. And also don't forget to sign the guest card at some point during a worship service. Birmingham Concert Band today here at Redeemer at 3 o'clock in the gym. And all are invited to attend. And if you want further information, it is in your announcements. Also, lunch and worship is this week on the 18th. We'll have lunch at noon, worship at 1, half-hour service with communion, and that's in the chapel. Next Sunday is confirmand-led service. Doesn't really change the service, but it's always a great Sunday at 9 and 10:30 when our confirmands help participate in the worship service with the music and things of that nature. Also, West Maple Open House next Sunday from 3:30 to 5, and as always, all are invited. Youth group tonight, 7 to 9. Women's book group this week. Also, men's fellowship breakfast Saturday. David Glem from Wellspring Lutheran Services will be speaking. We also thank Elaine for being here today. She plays for 8 o'clock, but Dr. Wagner couldn't make it in today, so she's going to cover us at 9 and 10:30. So our liturgy is going to be spoken. We also thank Terry Farmer, because choir was canceled today also, just because it's so difficult to make sure everybody can come in and sing choir. And so he's going to be singing Gather at the River. And Terry drove in from Ann Arbor. So we appreciate that, and makes everybody else who didn't show up look really bad. We rise for opening hymn.
Darkness, have I seen? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. And I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee, for thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
Invite the children forward for the children's message. Good morning. How you doing today? Thanks for coming. I know the weather's not that great, but you made it anyways. Look at what I got right here. Can you see it? Can you see it? Let me bring it down. Look at that. What is that? What do you think? I know it's Lego people, but what do you think it is? Lego hell? Oh no. Yeah, there's fire and everything. Oh, and look, who's in the front? It's a guy with a black suit and a little pastor collar on. That's me. I'm not going to go to Lego hell, am I? No. You know, not because I'm good. No. I'm not. Why won't I? Why be in heaven? Because God loves me. And what did he do because he loved me? He died on the cross for me because I don't deserve to be in heaven. But he died for me so I could go to heaven so I wouldn't have to go there. Lego hell. So I'm going to tell your parents why I'm doing this in the children's sermon so you can ask them later, because I didn't intend to have this as a children's sermon because I thought, ooh, Lego hell. But it's a great opportunity to talk about how Jesus loves us and died for us to save us and to give us a perfect place called heaven. So that's what we're going to talk about today in the sermon. And I want to thank you for coming up. You guys look so sad. I don't see any of you in there, okay? We're all going to heaven because Jesus died for us and rose again. We're still celebrating Easter, so we should be happy. Smile. Smile. Hey, smile. Okay, get out of here. Thanks for coming up.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. For these people blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like animals, they too will perish. Here ends the epistle reading.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Glory be to thee, O Lord. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Here ends the Holy Gospel. We confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God,
being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who
Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, why for children something so sad? Let me tell you the story. Because, it was this past week, and I had already on the cover of the bulletin Lego Hell. And Jim Greenwald, one of our members, he came in. He's a big Lego guy, and he saw that. He said, I love that. I can make you a Lego Hell for the children's sermon. And I said, no, I have something else in mind. I don't really want to talk about hell with the kids. And he said, no, they won't be afraid. And so he made this Lego hell, and I had to use it. I hope I didn't scare the kids. But the reason Lego hell is on the front cover of the bulletin, it was Easter morning, and Matthew Peterson came to me, and he said, hey, Pope Francis said there is no hell. And I put that away. I thought, that there's a sermon. We've got to talk about that. Now, you can go on the internet, and you can find every Bible story in Lego. And if the Lego Bible has Lego hell, it must be true, right? So what did the Pope say? It was interesting. At first, you could look it up easily on the internet, and it came right up. Now, when you look it up, the words of the Vatican come up. And they've been backtracking, saying that he really didn't say this. The interview, was a little confusing. Whatever the case may be, let me read to you what the Pope said. This was about hell. They are not punished. Those who repent obtain God's forgiveness and take their place among the ranks of those who contemplate him. But those who do not repent and cannot be forgiven disappear. A hell doesn't exist. The disappearance of sinning souls exist. Now, you have to understand, if the Pope speaks, that changes everything. His word is law, in a way. Rosemary Ging gave me her old Roman Catholic Bible from 1950. And in the front, it says, whenever the church officially declares the meaning of a particular text, it must be understood in that sense. So you can imagine if the Pope said there's no hell, well, that changes a history of doctrine that has been taught in the Roman Catholic Church. Now, what the Pope is saying, it comes in different terms throughout the ages. People have said, in the end, at the resurrection. You have a group of righteous who will be saved for eternity, and those who come from the depths of hell are going to be totally annihilated. Okay, that's what the Pope is talking about, the doctrine of annihilation. In a sense, they disappear. It's often called conditional immortality. Now, it's a false teaching, because the day you were conceived, you became a living being, an eternal being. You're going to live forever, not always in the body, but you are going to live, you're going to exist forever. And the Pope was saying, if he did say that, that at some point those who go to hell don't exist. Well, that's not what the Bible says. So today we're going to talk about hell, the doctrine of hell. What does the Bible tell us? And you would think it's an easy topic. I mean, come on, that's why Jesus came. He came to die and save us from hell and give us heaven. But when you start looking into the scriptures about hell, okay, it gets a little challenging. If you go to the Old Testament, you're not going to find, it's translated in English, hell, but you're not going to find really that term. What you have is Sheol, the Hebrew word, Sheol. It's used 65 times, but it's translated three different ways, depending on the context. Three times it refers to a pit. 31 times it refers to an actual grave. And 31 times, this is from the King James, 31 times it's translated as hell. So you can see there's a challenge with that word. And you may have your Bible at home that you study. You may sometimes be reading that, and instead of finding the word hell, you'll find Sheol. Some of the people translating into English find that word so hard to translate, they don't even translate. They leave the original Hebrew because it is a challenging word. Now, you're going to find Sheol is used in a number of different ways. It's used for those who go to a place where they're suffering, but it's also applied to those who go to a place where there's blessedness and joy and happiness. As you read scripture and they go through the lives of many of the saints of old, the believers in God, it will say when they died, they were gathered to their people, but it still uses the term Sheol. So it seems that this is a place where souls are held. Now, some are in suffering and some are not. Some are in blessedness. Remember Jesus' story, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? Parables are earthly stories with heavenly meanings, okay? Jesus talked about parables all the time. Some would argue this is not a parable. In every parable Jesus uses, he never assigns a name to a character. But in this one, he does. He could have very well said the rich man and the poor man, because we know Lazarus is poor, but he gets a name. So maybe it's a real story. Well, the rich man dies, and he goes to a place where there's suffering. The poor man died, and we're told he's next to Abraham, a place of joy and happiness. And what are we told? The rich man looked up. He looked up and saw the joy of what Lazarus had, and he said, God, just let him dip a finger into some water and touch me with it, that I may have some relief. So in this place, there seems to be compartments where there's suffering and where there's joy. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 22, for a fire will be kindled by my wrath, one that burns down to the lowest Sheol, or hell, it's translated in English. Is there levels? Our epistle lesson for today, 2 Peter 2, verse 4. The interesting Greek word there. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. The Greek word he uses there is only used once in the scriptures, Tartarus. Tartarus, you'll find it in Greek mythology, but you'll find it in writings of Jewish scholars way back in the time of the Old Testament. It's not in the Bible, but it was used in reference to the lowest place in hell. So there seems to be, and the Bible does portray, there's degrees of suffering, and there's degrees of glory and bliss. That's a whole nother sermon. Jesus even confuses it a little more. He uses a different word. Matthew 18, verse 8. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into, some translations will say hell, others will say eternal fire. Jesus uses the word Gehenna. Gehenna is found 12 times in the New Testament. James uses it once. Jesus uses it 11 times. Gehenna. Gehenna is a place. It is south of Jerusalem, very close to Jerusalem. If you go back to the Old Testament, when God's people had lost their way and they were worshiping false gods, they were sacrificing their children to false gods, and it was in this location. Gehenna used at some point became the town's garbage heap. So everything from Jerusalem that was garbage ended up in Gehenna, and it burned day and night. It was always a fire in Gehenna. And so Jesus uses it as a metaphor, talking about what those who are in the lowest parts of Sheol will suffer on the last day. And now you go to the book of Revelation, the last book, in Revelation 20, verses 13 through 15. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, the lake of the second death. Anyone whose name was not found within the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says Gehenna. Our Old Testament lesson for today talked about a resurrection of all people, didn't it? The good, those destined to heaven, and the evil, those destined to eternal punishment. And that punishment goes on forever and ever and ever. The Bible nowhere indicates that it's temporary. Now, honestly, I'd like to think that there is no hell, right? I just want to think God's going to save everybody. And I'm probably sure you have thought that at a time, too. It doesn't matter what we think, though. If the Bible says it, we believe it or we deny it. And if we start denying things of the Bible, we're in big trouble. The Bible certainly teaches that there's a heaven and there's a hell. And none of us deserve to be in heaven. But that's why Christ came, died, and rose again, to give us forgiveness and the gift of eternity. You know, we hear the term a lot, inclusive. Be inclusive. Include everybody. God's inclusive. The Bible says he desires all people to be saved. And at the same time, he's very exclusive. Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back, take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the place, the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know the place, so how do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, have you ever watched a funeral on TV of a prominent person who happens to have a Christian service? You'll most likely hear that reading, and they end there. They end there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But what does Jesus say? The only way to the Father is through me. He's the door. That's very exclusive. The only way. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is talking about the New Testament church, the apostles going out and sharing the message of salvation. You know, sometimes we struggle with the whole concept of hell. But do you think God gets a little frustrated with us when he has given us the message of salvation and told us to take it to the world? If we want to think other things as if God is going to save everybody, listen, our God is a loving God. He loved us so much, instead of sending us to hell, instead of making us pay for our sins, he became one of us and took all our sin and took all our God is a righteous God, and he cannot have sin and evil in his presence. So he put it all on his son. He died and rose again. You know what the unforgivable sin is? You're not going to heaven because you're good. The unforgivable sin is not suicide. At some point, that became a popular thought in church, or you'd hear people say it. That's not it. The unforgivable sin is rejecting Jesus Christ. Rejecting Jesus Christ. You know, we say in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. Actually, if you look at the original Latin of the Apostles' Creed, it says the lower world. Again, going with that concept of Hades and compartments and places where those who are going to be judged are held for that day. In 1 Peter 3, for Christ also suffered once for the sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A little side note. As water cleansed the earth of evil in the flood, so the flood of baptism cleanses our conscience and our soul. You know, I share this with you all the time, but not everybody's here every Sunday, but a baptismal font usually has 8 points to it to remind us of the eight, Noah and his family, that were saved by water. And so too are we. When Jesus descended into this lower place, he didn't go there to suffer. He went there to proclaim victory over the spirits. And what are we told who are there? The people who were like the people in the days of Noah. What were those people like? Noah invited them. The boat took over 100 years to build. During that time, Noah did evangelism. Nobody listened. They rejected the message. That's the unforgivable sin, the rejection of Christ. We're no better than the people out there. God has called us and blessed us with the word of salvation. And somebody was used to give us that word. And now it's our turn. I think it was St. Augustine who said, we're just beggars. We found the bread, and all we're doing is telling other beggars where to find it. That bread is Jesus. That bread is forgiveness. That bread is eternal life. Think about the people God has placed in your world who don't have that bread. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
Crystal tide forever.
Please rise. Dear Heavenly Father, you are a just God, and a God who feels indignation every day because of the evil done by us. And yet, you sent your only begotten Son to receive flesh and die on the cross, that your wrath might not be poured out on the world, but on the head of the innocent one. Lord, let us always look to you and trust in you, that in your Son, Jesus Christ, we will not suffer the pangs of death, but we will be spared from the just punishment that you should give, knowing that Christ has taken this cup and drank it to the dregs. May we cling to him as well when we receive his body and blood, knowing that this cleanses us from all sin as we receive the bread of life. We also ask this comfort and this patience for those who are facing health concerns. Give this to them by your Holy Spirit. Be with the hands of the doctors. Give them skill. Give them swift healing and comfort their loved ones. We pray especially for Charlene, Sue Tome, Dosh Allen, Jim and Jan Hogan, Greg Patterson, Bob Wilson, Heidi Kleitze, Amy Ruckel, Cheryl Timlin, Beverly Moore, Bob Ernewine, Tom Demrick, Jenny Schaum, Pam Dodge, Helen Hoytacki, Hedda Ruther, George Bailey, Bill Rolfe, Penny Coville, Betty Chuslow, Larry and Elaine Dickinson, and Myra. Lord, for those Redeemer members who are homebound, we ask that you would give them strength and encouragement through your Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that they, as well as we, are beggars receiving the one thing that gives us hope, your Son, Today we bring before you Betty Pottinger. For all world leaders, Lord, we ask for justice in this world that is administered by them. You have given all authority on earth to be given for our good. May this also be the case with President Trump and all those who lead us in the United States. Surround them with wise counsel. For all those who are serving in the military, for those overseas, protect them in their bodies that they might come home safely. For those who are at home, protect them in body and soul, and help us to serve them as the church, giving them both physical and spiritual support. We celebrate with all those who celebrate their birthdays and anniversaries. We give thanks for the altar flowers placed by the Sullivan and Wagnitz family. We give thanks for the Family of God Soup Kitchen sponsors, the Tian family, the Zerner family, and the Mater family. And for the Family of God Soup Kitchen and Positive Parenting sponsors, the Wolf family, the Tom and Kathy Ellie, and Marge Motter. Lord, we give thanks to you because of their generosity. You have placed in us a generosity that is bestowed on us by your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might love those who are around us as you have loved us. Help us to learn from their work. Lord, we pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen.
Christ for you.
Please rise. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. 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 Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia.